Well, we are in scripture spinning class, a workout in Bible study. And the last time we had spoken about problems that can cause your head to spin out of control and measuring religion versus relationship and how people can easily be conned by the text, taking things out of context. And we cited an example of a recent cult group similar to the Jim Jones and David Koresh's, and admonishing us to not fall prey to this was Bible verses such as 1 Timothy, Colossians, 1 John, etc., that we shouldn't get fooled by false doctrine. And that simply means that you study the original, that is the Bible itself, rather than all the photocopies, so that when a photocopy masks itself as the original, it's easier for you to detect. So we're talking about studying the word and going deeper in the word. And now we move on to the solution. Spin the wheel of the word. And I've taken the letters spin, S-P-I-N, and I've given it my usual definition. Study, ponder, investigate, note, spin. That's my spin on what you should do when you're studying the word, is to study it, ponder it, contemplate it, think about it, and then do some investigation on your own as well. That one thing will lead you to the next. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. He may lead you from one Bible passage to another, to something, you know, extra circular material, and bring you back. And then you make note of it. And making note of it can include things like scripture memory. It can include jotting things down, obviously. The whole objective of this scripture spinning class is to show you the benefits of deeper study. Keep that word deeper in mind. And how to drill down into the word, and then also some tools that you could use. I'm going to use a story to illustrate deeper. And let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 47, if you've got your Bible handy, verses 3 to 7. Again, Ezekiel 47, verses 3 to 7. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water. Came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned, there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Well, I'm drawing an illustration from this passage. We know the context itself, and I'm using the principle of that to talk about studying the word deeper and going deeper actually with God Himself. Of course, His word leads us there. But the objective is as such. I don't know how many of you remember a Jamaican, it was a video that went viral because there was an interview with a lady when there were some floods that had taken place in, I think it was St. Thomas. And a guy actually came and said, he became very famous. He says, "Is only a fisherman or a fisherwoman can cross it. The boss can't swim." And it was about the difficulty in crossing these floodwaters because it was so deep and it was flowing so fast that not even a bus could go there, but a fisherman or a fisherwoman could obviously jump in their little canoe or whatever and would be able to cross it. People who were experienced in deep waters. And I found it quite amusing in this passage here when he said, you know, that is, you can't cross it, right? And so that brought to mind that whole thing. If you get a chance, take a look at it. But here we see a process of where the man went out to the east with the line. He measured 1,000 cubits. And he took Ezekiel into the water that it came to his ankles. You know, God is not going to, quote unquote, throw you in the deep end of the pool and say, okay, go ahead and swim. No, there may be instances or circumstances where things like that does occur. Of course, I agree. But generally speaking, he gently leads you through a process that slowly brings you into a deeper knowledge of him and his word. And here we see Ezekiel went from his ankles, he went up to his knees, he came up to his waist, and then he couldn't, it's water now that he'd have to swim in the water. And it couldn't cross Ezekiel's mind that, wait a second here, if I can't cross it, then who's going to save me? Remember, Peter jumped out of the boat. He was doing very well with his faith, and then he took one look at the water and began to sink. But guess what? Jesus was there to pull him out. So you need not fear going deeper with God or going deeper in his word, because Jesus will be standing there to pull you up out of the water. You know, it's quite amazing. Having grown up in a tropical land, an island of Jamaica, one would assume, as its motto, land of wood and water, that somewhere along the line I would have been able to swim in the water. But for me, a non-swimmer, that did not happen. And most people who ask me this are shocked. How can you grow up on an island and not know how to swim? Well, you'd be amazed at how many people who grow up on an island just don't swim. It's a regret I've had. It is born out of fear. But I do know when I did try to do swimming lessons, for instance, that the minute the water got up to my chest or neck, that I began to have a panic attack, like an asthma thing, is what I would be feeling. Now, the temperature of the water has a lot to do with it, because it affects your chest and temperature can affect you. But generally speaking, it's born out of fear for the most part. So that deep water feeling of it actually affecting me would have stopped me and robbed me from the blessings of being able to swim with my children, go in the ocean, and, you know, just that float on my back, gaze up at the sun and the blue sky, stand up with my friends in the water and, you know, chat and have a good time. I missed out on lots of blessings. And that's the analogy I'm drawing, is that when you don't go deeper with God for whatever reason, fear, perhaps it's a bit of indolence, perhaps it's nonchalance, I don't know. You can miss out on tremendous blessings that God wants to bring to you. I'm going to share a testimony about water and the same fear that I had. When I came to know the Lord, I accepted him in a church service under the preaching of Romans, all have sinned, and faith comes from hearing the word. And I actually rushed to the altar. They didn't even have to encourage me. I was ready for Jesus. You know, repentance, deep confession and crying and just so grateful for God to forgive me of sin. That was September 8th, 1996. The following month, in October, I think 24th, I was to be water baptized. The third month, by the way, in November the 4th, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I had a kind of trinity, one, two, three. Repentance, got saved, got baptized in water and onto repentance, and then got baptized in the Holy Spirit. But in the process of getting water baptized, I had to sit with the gentleman that was walking me through that process, Ricky Mahfood, and, you know, going through the scriptures to make sure that I indeed had accepted the Lord and was not relying on the water to save me, was not the efficacious means by which one is justified, but rather an act, an outward act of an inward conversion. And going through that process in the scriptures, the rubber hit the road when some visiting preachers, I think, from Denmark were there. Holland, I think. And they were inviting people to be water baptized in the evening. Well, now the rubber hit the road. Would I actually do this? Because you see, in this particular denomination, it's full immersion. You are not talking about sprinkling here. We're talking about P.C. Harris would have to go under the water, and he's a non-swimmer. I can tell you, every single fear that the enemy could use came against me. You're going to drown. These people are cult leaders. It's a night service. You're not going to make it. Every single attack of the enemy to stop me from water baptism came my way. I remember driving home with Wendy. It was raining. That added another layer of fear and anxiety. Remember it as it were tomorrow. We pulled into Dillsbury Avenue and got into the townhouse. And I, on the way, we felt the tire a little shaky. And I said, Wendy, what's that? And she said, I don't know. When I got out and looked, there was a huge metal piece of wire stuck on the tire. And of course, the classic hissing of the tire. Oh gosh, now I have a puncture. Well, the first thought that came to my mind was, oh goody, now I have a legitimate excuse to not go and be drowned by these cult leaders in the church at Swallowfield. See how the enemy works? So I said to the Lord, which by the way was the Lord prompting me, I'm convinced, Lord, if it is your will that I be water baptized, then I'm asking you, Lord, please let the tire stay inflated when I come back to leave, which is like an hour and a half, you know, from that time. But of course, my flesh went, oh gosh, there's no way this tire, I can hear the hissing. This tire going to be flat like in no time flat. Wendy was in total opposition to my water baptism. She said, you're joined a cult. You're joined a cult. She had not got saved at that time. She came to know the Lord 1 year after that, praise God. But at the time, vehemently opposed because she thought I'd gone off my head and joined a cult and crazy stuff. And she refused to come to the baptism, which I wanted her and the children to witness it. And she didn't want to come. So here was this battle setting up, my fears, my anxieties, my wife, my kids, the tire going flat and so forth. The rain, night, month of October coming up, you know, the Halloween month that people always love to, you know, push and promote for sure. So I had all of these things raging ferociously. Well, time to come check now on the tire. I come out and confidently in my heart believe I'm going to get to the thing. The tire is flat and fait accompli. Call up Ricky, say, Ricky, sorry, I can't come, but my tire flat. I get out to the car, zero hiss. The tire is fully inflated. What you going to do now, Yogi? Well, I just about nearly flipped out. My heart is racing and I'm going, dear Lord. But I said, you know what? I'm going to bite the bullet. And I am going to go and get water baptized. Told Wendy, jumped in the car, drove in the rain, arrived at Swallowfield. When I'm coming out of the car now, all kind of demonic attack on me. Yeah, I cannot begin to tell you. One of these days I will share the level of that demonic attack on my mind. The battlefield is the mind, you know. And I come into the church, sit down, and they, you know, I go around the back. And I figure, well, this is something like a dega-dega small pool. Listen to me, man, this is an Olympic-sized pool I'm having in the back there for water baptism. So now I'm like, oh, dear Lord, I'm toast, I'm done. Night service, all of these people are just get saved. It's not like I know any of them well. And Ricky says, you ready? I say, boy, brother, I guess I'm ready. And I came into the water with Ricky, the water cold, like you wouldn't believe. And I just said, Lord, you have to protect me. You must save me, oh God. You must protect me from this. If there be anything, and then, Lord, please keep me safe. And I can never forget this. It is burned just as it is burned into my very being for salvation, for the Holy Spirit baptism. This too marked a complete, absolute experience I will never forget. But he dipped me back into the water. It was crystal clear water. Not a speck of dirt was in it. And as I sank below the water, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I had died. I had absolutely died. I could feel it. I could see above through the water, transparent, obviously. I don't know if I held my breath. I have no clue what I did. When I came up out of the water, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt this new birth was real. Now, the water didn't save me. Let me make that clear. But there's something powerful in water baptism for you. Peter talks about it being a symbol, a testimony, a public declaration of your faith in Christ. You have decided to follow Jesus. So I would encourage you, if you have never been water baptized, you should do it. It's for you. The expression is for you. The experience is for you. And man, oh man, was it blessed. Wonderful, wonderful, precious. I'm only scratching the surface of what the Lord showed me during this time. Coming up out of that water, feeling born again, feeling fresh, feeling, yes, this is the right thing. They didn't drown me. They didn't push me under the water. They didn't kill me. No, there are groups like that. Let me just say that. The guy that I spoke about in the previous module was a loony bin. So you don't just follow people blindly like that. Be very careful and cautious. But there's a time when faith meets the road, if you will. And so you need to pray and you need to get counsel from other people, perhaps outside of the group you're in as well, who are also believers, when there are decisions to be made of matters like this. But I say this because that was deep water for me. I had gone way down into something that you'd have to swim, and the Lord wanted to take me deeper in Him. And this was a physical expression of that, just as how this man, the man, took Ezekiel from his ankle to his knees to his waist to waters that he needed to swim in the deep waters. An interesting look at this in verse 7. When I returned there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Because the man said to me, son of man, have you seen this? You can only see certain things when you have gone into deep water. When you have been brought to the other side of the bank of the river and you return from that, you can see very clearly now. You can see, as it were, the trees for the forest. And there, standing on the river, Ezekiel could see many trees on one side and the other. He couldn't see it before. And I'm suggesting to you, when you go deep in the Lord, He's going to show you stuff that you didn't see before. And in His word, you're going to see all kinds of things that you're going to go, why did I not see this before? Well, God just wants to take you there. He wants to show you things. Jesus in John 16, as I close here now, John 16, verses 12 to 14, Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He, the Spirit of truth, will lead you into deeper things of the Lord. But Jesus says, sometimes I will long to tell you things, but you can't bear them. You're not ready for it, or perhaps you were reluctant, or you weren't interested, but he's waiting. So can I say to you today, to spin the wheel of the word, S-P-I-N, study, ponder, investigate, and note, and then allow the Holy Spirit to lead you into the deep waters, to reveal and show you the many things that Jesus wants. I'll ask you a question as we close. Describe where you think you are in the waters of the word and in him. Are you ankle deep? Are you waist deep? Are you knee deep? Where do you think your desire is at the moment? That's it for now. And next time we're going to look at the goal and the methods without the dogma of methodology. Father, I pray that all those who have heard your word today about not just studying your word for the sake of academic study and studying themselves to be workmen approved, but Lord, that they will see the deeper things of who you are, that they will wade into the deep waters, Lord, of you, Father, so that you can show them when you take them to the bank, look at those trees, the tree of life, Lord, the tree of knowledge, all of those things, Lord, that you long to show, Lord. I ask you, Father, to just bless all the hearers of this, O God. Lead them to deep waters. Your Holy Spirit says you will lead them to all truth. We bind any false things that may occur, any occult stuff that is not of the Lord Jesus Christ, or any word that has been perverted by man or the traditions of men, but only the pure word of God, the word which is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. May it penetrate, Lord, to dividing joints and marrow, judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. This I ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.